Dear listeners, this podcast is created by the Linguist team. If you want to practice and improve your English, go to our website, linguistov.ru. And if you want to share your opinion and ideas regarding our discussions, you can email us at info@linguistov.ru.
You always scare me with this mood of yours when you sound so excited, because I usually don't sound that excited.
How do you usually start your lessons? What do you say to your students?
Oh my God. It's already symbolic.
Oh, okay.
Hi, how are you today?
Yes, I know. It's just all the time. And I think that some students get really tired of this. Hi, how are you today?
Well, usually I don't say hi, actually. I just remembered. I usually say good morning or good evening.
Okay.
And I very often get confused because I don't really know what part of the day it is. And I usually say good, and then I think a couple of seconds and then good morning. Something like that. It's already symbolic. Some students imitate me and they say my phrases before I say them. I really don't know. How else can you start a lesson?
Yeah, I know.
It's like, so darling, what do we have today for dinner? What have you prepared? And his wife climbs a taburet and says, a song! What do you think about that Korean, ex-Korean citizen, Victor Ahn? Victor is his Russian name.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know his real name. And a couple of years ago, he was excluded from the Korean Olympics team because he had some injury.
Mm-hmm.
So they just, you know, dropped him out, like, we don't need you. But he got hurt, his feelings,
mm-hmm.
His pride. And he somehow contacted the Russian, maybe government or maybe mm-hmm. people dealing with this Olympics. And they invited him to join the Russian Olympic team.
Mm-hmm.
And now he's a Russian citizen.
Mm-hmm.
He lives in a dormitory. He already won some medals for us.
Mm-hmm.
And he already speaks some decent Russian.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, because he's been living in Russia for about 2 years already.
Mm-hmm.
And now his girlfriend said that she applied for a Russian citizenship. And she said that she no longer wants to be a Korean. The story of this Korean
mm-hmm.
guy actually touched me because, I mean, how is it to feel when your country doesn't want you?
Mm-hmm.
When your country doesn't think you can win something, you can be successful, and they just tell you, okay, we no longer want you.
But is it just because of this pure fact that he had an injury? As I understand, he's physically quite capable.
Oh, he recovered, but the Korean Olympic team
mm-hmm.
Decided that it's easier to find a younger sportsman rather than spend money on this guy.
Mm-hmm.
So they just excluded him. So, but anyway, he chose the name of Victor. It's like victory, you know, and his girlfriend is waiting for her passport, but she hasn't chosen a Russian name for her. And I was wondering whether they actually need to really choose a Russian name. Is it really unpronounceable? I mean, their real names.
I think so. Maybe it's like with Chinese. You remember I told you when you go to China, you have to make your own name.
Just wondering. Or maybe they are so, their feelings are so hurt. They no longer want to have anything in common.
Yeah.
What would you do in a situation like that when your country hurts, affects your feelings? Would you be okay moving somewhere else?
I'm not really that patriotic.
But that's the point. I don't even think that it has to do with patriotism.
Mm.
It's just a personal decision when he wants to participate in competitions, but his country doesn't give him this opportunity.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't have a choice.
Mm-hmm.
When the figure skater falls down when she makes a mistake and she falls down and she gets up really quickly, mm-hmm. you know, as if nothing happened. Mm-hmm. And my dad is like, well, yeah, they hope that nobody sees. But I just imagine that I'm like, if I were skating and then I'd fall on my butt, I'd be lying up there like.
And crying probably.
Crying. Like, oh gosh. I'm sorry, I tried, but I failed. Plushenko let us down. He decided not to participate. You've heard about that, right?
I don't think that he let us down.
He did. Because he could have...
He had a physical trauma. I think that it was impossible for him to...
perform. But he knew about it when he agreed to participate in the competition.
So you think that if he...
Yes, he could have foreseen the situation like that, because there were some other younger figure skaters who had the chance to also become the champions. But... Mm-hmm. He said, okay, and then, well, everybody knows Plushenko, they included him. Mm-hmm. And then he said, I'm sorry, but I can't. I think that, of course, he let us down.
Maybe it was something for PR reasons, sort of like an image as a hero, sacrificer. Okay, so let's start, yeah?
We haven't started yet.
We haven't yet.
I was wondering what we were doing.
You are listening to one of the greatest and funniest podcasts on our planet. We are delivering fun into your household and warmth into your heart. Our grateful listeners write to us every day asking for more podcasts and maybe live shows. Our fans are barricading our front yards just to see the glimpse of Asia and Landish. They even start to write fan fiction and form fan clubs. I'm almost sure somewhere there they have already created a monument dedicated to us. So here we are again, the legends in the living flesh, the queens of podcasting, the empresses of amateur comedy, and generally very good people, I suppose, Asia and Landish.
Yeah. I like the generally good people, I suppose, part. I presume.
A local council in Northumberland has been forced to keep the town's Christmas tree 4 weeks after the close of the festive period because a bird's nest was discovered in among the branches.
Oh, so cute.
I know. The bird's nest, the blackbird's nest, actually, was discovered along with three eggs in it when they tried to take down the tree on the 20th of January. So quite recently, yeah?
Mm-hmm.
The council was advised to leave the bird to finish its nesting before removing the tree. Despite the incongruous nature of the Christmas tree in February, most of the locals seemed delighted by having the tree and the blackbird there.
That's so cute.
Oh, did I tell you that story? We have this berries. How do you call this?
Wild ash?
Yeah, wild ash. Yes, that's right. So, and especially if there are some temperature changes, these berries start to ferment. Like, till February, no one eats them because mm-hmm. there's quite plenty of food in the forest. But once February comes, usually a lot of forest birds come to the city here and they start eating this ash, yeah, wild ash. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And sometimes they become drunk. Actually, yes, and they fly, so they lose orientation and they fly in strange zigzag shapes. Yeah, so
maybe they do it on purpose, like, let's go for a drink.
Oh yeah, probably.
What are you doing tonight? Let's go to a bar.
Yeah. Let's get hammered.
So it's a Friday night, come on.
Yeah, that's right.
And then they get addicted?
Probably they have this rehabilitation programs in forest.
We have. Because when they come back, their wives start...
Demanding,
where have you been?
Yeah.
You smell like wild ash.
Yeah.
Have you been drinking with your fellas? We've got a nest full of little eggs, all hungry.
Mm-hmm.
And you've been drinking all week out there in the city.
ghost ship crewed only by cannibal rats feared to be heading for Britain. The hulk of cruise ship Lyubov Orlova has been adrift in the North Atlantic for the past year after being cut loose off the coast of Canada. The 30-foot vessel, built 40 years ago in the Soviet Union, has nothing aboard but packs of disease-ridden rodents who are forced to prey on one another to survive. Her current position is unknown. If the ship makes landfall, it is likely to be the west coast of Ireland, Scotland, or the far southern tip of England. One researcher told the newspaper, "She is floating around out there somewhere. There will be a lot of rats, and they eat each other. If I get aboard, I will have to lace everywhere with poison. We must stay vigilant."
But they eat each other, and then they reproduce.
So
they keep on eating each other and they keep on reproducing, which means that the number of rats is the same, more or less the same. The strongest survive, the weakest become somebody's dinner. I don't know.
Is it true that in every ship there are rats?
Must be true.
Yeah.
Yeah, because it's impossible to not have them on the on a limited place, like sheep, for example. I think they just don't bother about rats as long as they're not visible.
Would you go to some kind of a
why not?
Ship? Wouldn't you be afraid?
I think if you have to die, you die anyways.
Okay, that's very optimistic.
Whether you are in open sea or not, so you can die on a plane, or you can die in a car accident. I mean, if this is your destiny, you can't escape it. But and so this kind of philosophy helps me to be, you know, fearless. You don't have to. If it doesn't bother you, why do you have to overcome your fears? It doesn't destroy your life, your everyday life.
It ruins my everyday life. Just the mere thought that I could.
or you wake up every morning and you
in
think,
cold sweat.
I'm still afraid of water. I need to get over it. And then
I can't move on with my life. Yeah, if I
your day is spoiled.
Yeah.
I like water. I can't say that I'm absolutely not afraid of water. Of course, there is some kind of, you feel thrilled when you see, as you said, the endless surface. But it's a pleasant feeling. It's just about the imagination, how willing you are to imagine things that do not exist. When I go and walk around, when I go and see the Gulf of Finland, and I imagine it to be Miami,
Does it work? Yeah, really. Yes.
It works. It really does.
So everything is in your head. Maybe I can imagine that's Набережные Челны somewhere near the Mediterranean.
It's hard to imagine Набережные Челны somewhere near the Mediterranean. And you know why? Not because of the weather and not because of the snow, but because of this typical apartment blocks. You can't see them anywhere but here. And they are everywhere. So.
Well, it also makes it somehow unique that you can very easily get lost in this place.
I like our city.
Oh, yeah.
It's spacious. It's like comfortable, warm, and clean.
A learner driver's car has been seized after police who stopped her on a motorway realized the only supervisor in the vehicle was her pet parrot. The woman, in her 50s, only had a professional license. Oh, provisional license. Provisional license holders are banned from driving on motorways and are only allowed to drive at all when accompanied by a qualified driver. The vehicle had been confiscated and the driver is expected to be charged with motor offenses, including speeding at a later date.
So the parrot was...
The probably a
driver, a professional driver.
Qualified driver, yeah.
Qualified driver. He had a driver's license.
Mm-hmm.
He could give her proper advice.
It's true.
Parrots can talk. Yes. So in this respect, a parrot is much better than a dog.
Sure, yeah.
I don't see any reason why they seized her, why they confiscated her car. And you know, when the people who grow cannabis at home, they usually get a parrot as their pet.
Why?
So that in case police finds out about this hobby, they can say, oh, this is for my parrot.
Okay, and that would be legit?
And that would be enough. That would be legal, yep.
Oh, goodness. That's a very good tip for our listeners.
I was afraid to say that loud.
Okay, but why? Do they eat cannabis?
They love it.
Oh, okay.
It actually is legal to feed a parrot with his favorite food, with his favorite treat. Why not?
I remember that my mother told me when she was a child, there was cannabis growing, like wild cannabis there.
And a lot of it in Nabrezhny Chelny, actually.
Yeah, so, and they, when they were children, they ate, but not the leaves, yeah, it's just the seeds.
We did eat it too, actually.
I didn't.
Because I used to go horse riding when I was a child, and there was this horse rider school just outside the city. As you go to the school, you could see a lot of weed, a lot of cannabis. So there was a lot of it. Now I think they somehow control these wild plants, but they say it's good for birds, for the environment, for even manufacturing clothes.
Oh yeah.
So it's a good plant, but people use it in other ways. What do you think about legalizing weed?
I've read something about it. I don't see anything wrong with it. For example, if you compare it with cigarettes,
I have a friend who works in American Tobacco, and she asked me recently what I thought about that. You know, they had to increase their prices significantly, twice or three times because of the law, which says that in order to reduce the amount, the number of smokers, they will raise the prices for cigarettes. And I really think it is not effective, because if you are a smoker,
of course,
and if you are not planning to give up, you'll buy cigarettes even if they are 10 times more expensive. So it's just another way for the...
Maybe. But maybe it can discourage people to start smoking when they look at the price.
I really haven't met anybody who decided to start smoking. It never happens overnight. It is never your decision. It happens slowly. You know, you do not wake up and decide, I think, from this day on,
I should start smoking. Yeah,
that doesn't happen. So I think this law is absolutely not effective. And she also told me about shisha, that and actually in St. Petersburg there was this law that shisha is not allowed to be smoked in public places, because according to this law, it is not clear what the ingredients of the tobacco are. Basically, the customer needs to know what exactly it is, and based on this conclusion, they just, you know, made it illegal. My friend asked me what I thought about it. I was like, well, they just found the easiest way to do it so that they could make more money out of it. But a very logical and simple way would be simply to certify this tobacco for shisha, to have it certified. That way everybody would be satisfied, yeah? And it's not like it's not like cigarettes anyway. So, and I think that cigarettes are much more dangerous than weed, for example.
Of course, yeah.
So
I don't see any point in, you know, not legalizing it. So I think that is a good direction that the USA is moving.
Yeah, the USA, the USA is a very smart country.
Oh, yeah, sure. Actually, yeah. And so it's a new niche in economy. So
mm-hmm. And the government gets its money and everybody's happy. Why not?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Less illegal money.
Mm-hmm. That's right. Yeah.
So, Gustav Dr. Hugo for legalizing weed.
That's right.
All right.
Thank you for listening.
Thank you.
Yes. Okay.
So thank you for listening, as if I'm your psychologist.
Okay. See you tomorrow then, yeah?
Was it not me? Yeah, see you tomorrow.
Yeah, thank you. Goodbye.